ಸತಿದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಣೆ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣೆ ಜೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಓಕೆ ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ಯೆಸ್ಟರ್ಡೇ ವಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸ್ಡ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಹೌ ನಾರದ ಮುನಿ ಡೆಲಿವರ್ಡ್ ದಿ ಹರಿಯಶ್ವಾಸ್. ನಾವು ಯೆಸ್ಟರ್ಡೇ ವಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಎಂಡ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಹೌ ಅಂಡ್ ದಕ್ಷ ಕೇಮ್ ಟು ನೋ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿಸ್. ದಕ್ಷ ರಿಯಲಿ ಲ್ಯಾಮೆಂಟೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಥಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಅ ಅನ್ಫಾರ್ಚುನೇಟ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಗುಡ್ ಸನ್ಸ್ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಯು ನೋ ಇಫ್ ದೇ ಎವೆಂಚುಲಿ ಲೀವ್ ಆರ್ ದೆನ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಅ ಯು ನೋ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಬ್ರೇಕ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಲ್ಯಾಮೆಂಟಿಂಗ್. ಸೊ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಅಗೇನ್ ಬಿಗಾಟ್ ದ ಶವಲಸ್ವಾಸ್ ಥೌಸಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದೆಮ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ವೂಂಬ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ವೈಫ್ ಪಂಚಜನಿ. ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವೇರ್ ವಿ ಎಂಡೆಡ್ ಯೆಸ್ಟರ್ಡೇ, ರೈಟ್? ಆರ್ ಡಿಡ್ ವಿ ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಎಲ್ಸ್? ಇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ವೇರ್ ವಿ ಎಂಡೆಡ್ ಯೆಸ್ಟರ್ಡೇ? Anyone there? Hari Bol. Hari Bol.
Hi. Yes, Praji.
Okay. I could not hear anyone's voice. Okay. Fine. So we'll start from the 25th verse. Te cha pitra samadishtah praja sarge dhatavrataha ನಾರಾಯಣ ಸರೋಜ ಜಗ್ಮುರ್ ಯತ್ರ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಃ ಸ್ವಪೂರ್ವಜಾಃ. ಪಿತ್ರ ಸಮಾಧಿಷ್ಠಾಃ, ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದಿ ಆರ್ಡರ್ ಆಫ್ ದೇರ್ ಫಾದರ್ ಪ್ರಜಾಸರ್ಗೆ ಟು ಬಿಗೆಟ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್, ತೇಚ ದಿ ಸೆಕೆಂಡ್ ಗ್ರೂಪ್ ಆಫ್ ಸನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ದ ಶವಲಸ್ವಾಸ್ ಧೃತವ್ರತಾಃ ಟು ಅಂಡರ್ಟೇಕ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ವೌಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಸ್ಟರಿಟಿ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಸರಹ ಜಗ್ಮುಹು, ದೇ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ವೆಂಟ್ ಟು ದ ಸೇಮ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ನಾರಾಯಣ ಸರಸ್. ಯತ್ರ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಃ ಸ್ವಪೂರ್ವಜಃ, ವೇರ್ their purvajas, their elder brothers, the Hariyashwas, attained perfection through the instructions of Narada Muni. Any purport?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Prajapati Daksha sent his second group of sons to the same place where his previous sons had attained perfection. He did not hesitate to send his second group of sons to the same place, although they too might become victims of Narada's instructions. According to the Vedic culture, one should be trained in spiritual understanding as a brahmachari before entering household life to beget children. This is the Vedic system. Thus, Prajapati Daksha sent his second group of sons for cultural improvement, despite the risk that because of the instructions of Narada, they might become as intelligent as their older brothers. As a dutiful father, he did not hesitate to allow his sons to receive the cultural instructions concerning the perfection of life. He depended upon them to choose whether to return back to Godhead or to rot in this material world in various species of life. In all circumstances, the duty of the father is to give cultural education to his sons, who must later decide which way to go. Responsible fathers should not hinder their sons who are making cultural advancement in association with the Krishna consciousness movement. This is not a father's duty. The duty of a father is to give his son complete freedom to make his choice after becoming spiritually advanced by following the instructions of the spiritual master.
Okay. So I'm sure you must have quite a few examples there where you joined and your parents sent your brothers also to Pune like that. Hari Bhakti Prabhu, your brother was also in Pune, right?
Yes, Prabhuji. I told to my father and mother that don't tell me if he becomes a devotee. Don't say anything to me. They say, no, you keep him at your place only.
Achha.
And I had joined.
So where is he now?
He is now in US, Prabhuji, University of Florida. He is doing his master's there.
Oh.
And so he is under the guidance of Kalakanta Prabhu there.
Kalakanta Prabhu. Okay, 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 okay. Good, good, good. Very nice. Okay. So he has gone there to do his master's or PhD?
Master's project.
Okay. Fine. Great. Okay. We'll move on. Tad upasparshana deva vinirduta malashayaha japanto brahma paramam paramam tepus tatra mahattapaha. Vinirduta mala ashayaha, purified of all contamination in the heart. Tad upasparshana deva, by touching that water. Japanto brahma paramam, they chanted the supreme mantra. Tepuhu tatra mahattapaha, and performed great tapasya. The mantra will be mentioned next. Okay, is there a purport?
Yes, Prabhuji. Every Vedic mantra is called Brahma because each mantra is preceded by the Brahmakshara, Om or Omkar. For example, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7.8, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. In all the Vedic mantras, I am represented by Pranava or Omkar. Thus, chanting of the Vedic mantras beginning with Omkar is directly chanting of Krishna's name. There is no difference. Whether one chants Omkar or addresses the Lord as Krishna, the meaning is the same. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that in this age one chant the Hare Krishna mantra, Hare Rama Eva Kevalam. Although there is no difference between Hare Krishna and the Vedic mantras beginning with Omkar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the leader of spiritual movement for this age, has recommended that one chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Okay. Any quick comments before we move on? Okay. Abhakshaha katichin masan katichit vayu bojanaha aradayan mantra mimam abhyasyanta idaspatim. Om namo narayanaya purushaya mahatmane vishuddha sattva dishnyaya mahahamsaya dhimahi. So this was the mantra that they chanted. Taking only water for some months and taking only air for some months, they worshipped the Lord of mantras, using the following mantra. Om namo narayanaya, I offer respects to Narayana, the supreme person, the supreme soul, the abode of pure sattva. I meditate on the great swan, mahahamsaya dhimahi. Like that. There is no purport, there is no commentary. Is there a purport?
Yes, Prabhupada. From these verses, it is apparent that the chanting of the Maha Mantra or the Vedic Mantras must be accompanied by severe austerities. In Kali Yuga, people cannot undergo severe austerities like those mentioned here, in drinking only water and eating only air for many months. One cannot imitate such a process, but at least one must undergo some austerity by giving up four unwanted principles, namely illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. Anyone can easily practice this tapasya, then the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra will be effective without delay. One should not give up the process of austerity. If possible, one should bathe in the waters of the Ganges or Yamuna, or in the absence of the Ganges and Yamuna, one may bathe in the water of the sea. This is an item of austerity. Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore established two very large centers, one in Vrindavan and another in Mayapur, Navadvipa. There one may bathe in the Ganges or Yamuna, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, and thus become perfect and return home back to Godhead.
Okay. Any quick comments?
Bruja, special importance is there in bathing in the holy rivers whenever opportunity. So GV, we have Yamuna there. Every day, three drops.
Yeah, Radha Kund is there, Sham Kund is there also.
Yeah.
And guess what? You won't believe if there is video I could show you. Okay, there is video I could show you. I will just show where I'm standing, okay? Right. Let me see. Are you able to see any video now?
Yes, Prabhuji, we are able to see you.
Oh, okay. Okay. Can you see?
Yes.
What do you see now?
Just a minute.
Oh, this is
Navalkund, Navalkund. Ah, Navalkund, Apsara Kund must be.
Okay, and what is this?
Apsara Kund.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where I'm standing right now. I'll sprinkle a few drops for all of you. Okay. So few drops from Apsara Kund. I am sorry, it's little slippery. I will not go inside. But something from Naval Kund for you. So it was very. Okay. So, yeah. There is definitely, you know, emphasis about taking bath in the holy rivers, and of course, GV Maharaj's mercy, you know, all the holy places are manifested, so it's so nice. So when are you all coming?
Whenever the lockdown ends.
But you can request for our coming to something can happen.
Okay, so let's continue. Till then, we will at least bathe in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Ruji, you can
Ititanapi Rajendra. I can switch off the video, right? Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Ititanapi Rajendra Praja Sargadiyo Munihi Upetya Narada Praha Vachak Kutani Purvavat. O King. Narada Muni also approached these sons of Prajapati Daksha, who were engaged in austerity to beget children, and spoke enigmatic words to them, just as he had spoken to their elder brothers. He had a very sophisticated JOSD program. You know, and a very short one too. You know, it was not 7 days. It was just a few minutes, and he spoke one small allegory, and you know, all of them understood. 10,000 people understood without any problem, actually. Interesting. Any purport?
No problem.
Okay. Dakshayanaha sam shrunuta gadato nigamam mama anvichatanu padavim Bhratrinam Bhratruvatsalaha. O sons of Daksha, please hear attentively my words of instruction. Bhratruvatsala, you all are very affectionate to your elder brothers, Hariyashwas. Actually, they probably never met Hariyashwas, isn't it? Because after Hariyashwas were delivered by Narada Muni, then Daksha begot the Shavalaswas, and then they were sent. So the Shavalaswas actually never met the Hariyashwas. But here Narada Muni is still telling, oh, you must all be very affectionate to your brothers, the Hariyashwas. Bhratrina madhupadavi manvichata. Therefore, you should follow in their footsteps. Okay, like that. Okay, any, there is no commentary. Is there a purport?
Yes, Prabhu. Narada Muni encouraged Prajapati Daksha's second group of sons by awakening their natural affinity for their brothers. He urged them to follow their older brothers if they were at all affectionate toward them. Family affection is very strong. And therefore, Narada Muni followed this tactic of reminding them of their family relationship with the Hariyashwas. Generally, the word Nigama refers to the Vedas. But here Nigama refers to the instructions contained in the Vedas. Srimad Bhagavatam says, Nigama Kalpataror Galidam Phalam. The Vedic instructions are like a tree of which Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit. Narada Muni is engaged in distributing this fruit. Therefore, he instructed Vyasdeva to write this Mahapuram, Srimad Bhagavatam, for the benefit of the ignorant human society. Anarthopachamam Shakshad Bhakti Yogama Dokshaje Lokasya Janato Vidvam Chakre Sattva Samhitam. The material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this. Therefore, the learned Vyasadeva compiled this Vedic literature, which is in relation to the Supreme Truth. Bhagavatam 1.7.6. People are suffering because of ignorance and are following the wrong path for happiness. This is called anartha. These material activities will never make them happy. And therefore, Narada instructed Vyasadeva to record the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva actually followed Narada and did this. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme instruction of the Vedas. Lalitam Phalam, the ripened fruit of the Vedas is Srimad Bhagavatam.
Okay. I can you hear my voice clearly?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Because your voice is, you know, breaking. Your signal is poor, I think. Or is it mine? I don't know.
Adigopal, my voice is breaking?
Yeah. I guess Haribhakti Prabhu's voice is breaking. Prabhuji's voice is okay, clear.
Yeah. Adigopal Prabhu, henceforth, you can read the purport.
You read, yeah.
Okay. So let's continue. Bratrinam prayanam bhrata yonu tishtati dharmavit sapunya bandhu purusho marudbissaha modate. Bhrata, a brother, dharmavit, who is a knower of dharma, yo anutishtati, who follows bratrinam prayanam, who follows the path which was traversed by their brothers, which is the path of renunciation in this case, punya banduhu, which is full of piety, saha purushaha marudbihi saha modate, such a person enjoys life with the maruts. This is the literal meaning, but of course there is an allegory involved here. It's half allegory. You can say it's full allegory. Actually, the brothers are the devotees. So one who follows the path of the devotees, they enjoy life with the maruts. So what is this allegory? He says, you will enjoy life, you will enjoy with the maruts who are affectionate to their brothers. So this example indicates that you will enjoy with your elder brothers who have gone to Vaikuntha. So this is the meaning of the allegory here. Any purport?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
According to their belief in various material relationships, people are promoted to various planets. Here it is said that one who is very faithful to his brothers should follow a path similar to theirs and get the opportunity for promotion to Marud Lok. Narad Muni advised Prajapati, Daksha's second group of sons, to follow their elder brothers and be promoted to the spiritual world.
Okay. Any quick comments before we move on?
These Maruts are pure devotees.
Not really, but the point that he is making is Maruts were very close-knit with each other.
Okay.
So the 49 Maruts are stated together. So in that sense, you know, they all, wherever they all went together. So in that sense.
Okay.
He is not literally meaning that you would go to the planet of the Maruts. What he is indicating is you would go to the planet where your elder brothers are staying, which is actually Vaikuntha. Okay. Okay. Shall we move on? Move on.
Yes.
Yeah. Etavaduktva prayayau. Narado moga darshanaha te vichanvagamam margam bhratrinam eva marisha. Marisha, oh respectable person. Okay, so that is the meaning of marisha. Interestingly, the grandmother's name, the Shavalaswa's grandmother was also Marisha. That was, of course, Marisha. Etavaduktva, saying this, Naradaha, Amogha Darshanaha, seeing whom desires are fulfilled. Amogha Darshana. Prayayau, only this much he spoke and he left. Te apicha anvagamam, bhratrinam eva margam. And they also followed the path of their elder brothers, the Hariyashwas. So they followed. Okay, there is no commentary. Is there a purport?
No, please.
Okay. Sadrichinam pratichinam parasyanupatam gataha nadyapite nivartante paschimayami nir iva gataha having followed sadrichinam, the correct path, parasya anupatam, which is favorable for attaining the Lord, pratichinam, which gives internal realization, na adhyapite nivartante, they have not returned till today, which means they have gone to the favorable destination. Paschima yamini eva, just as night after passing does not return, the same night does not return, the next night comes, that which has passed is passed, you know. So paschima yamini eva, so when the night passes, then the same night does not return. It's not like after the sunset, again for a few minutes it rises again and then sets again. It does not happen. Once it sets, that's all. Like that. So they did not come back because they took the right path for attaining the Lord and they did not turn back. So Srila Vishwanatha Thakur mentions, having taken to the proper path of bhakti, the favorable path of the Lord, for attaining internal realization, they did not return like the passing of night. Is there a purport?
No question.
Okay. Is there a quick question or comment before we move on? Okay.
Roji, actually,
your voice is breaking. I can't hear it properly. Can you do something about your signal?
Just this only, Guruji. Then all of our Sanatana Vrinda devotees, those who are brothers, all of them are devotees. Only is,
those who have
brothers. They are now devotees, right? All the devotees who have brothers there. Jayadev Prabhu's brother is devotee. Akhilaj Pran Prabhu's brother is devotee. Tamal Bhai Prabhu's brother is devotee. Haribhakti Prabhu's mine. All brothers are devotees now.
Acha, are wa, wonderful. So how many are ready to join the ashram?
None of them.
My brother can join.
None of them.
Because I feel this is mostly because of brother. Brothers wanted to protect themselves.
Okay, okay.
They were trained. So,
your Haribhakti Prabhu, your brother might join.
Yeah, chances there. He says like that, but Kanataka Prabhu says him, he discourages him. But still, if he wants, he can. I don't know Prabhuji now, exactly.
Okay. But Alachua is not the best of places for joining the ashram.
He will not
join there.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Even to stay there, it's not the best of place.
No, he's in Gainesville, Prabhuji. He's in Gainesville.
I know Gainesville is close to Alachua actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Alachua devotees only come there, preach, do kirtan, yes, yes. Do the, you yes. know, food for life program and all that.
Yeah, and he also does a lot of kirtan there.
So
yes, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's move on. Etasmin kala utpatan bahun pashyan prajapatihi purvavannarada kritam putra nasham upashrunot. Etasmin kala, at this time, prajapati daksha, bahun utpatan pashyan, he started observing many disturbances. Ideally he should have seen good omens, but based on his own perception of what is good and what is bad, he actually started seeing ill omens, because according to his value system, something very bad had happened actually. Upashrunot putra nasham. So then subsequently he heard about the loss of his second set of sons also. Narada kritam, and this time also it was Narada Muni. Purvavat, just as before. No purport. No commentary. Is there a purport?
No, please.
Okay. Chukrodhanaradasyasau putrashoka vimurchitaha devarshim upalabhyaha roshad vispuritadaraha. So he says, putra shoka vimurchitah. He actually fainted due to lamentation. Naradaya chukrodha. And he became very angry at Narada. Devarshim upalabhya. When Daksha met Narada, roshad vispurita adaraha. Daksha with trembling lips, he spoke as follows. Narada Muni reached there also. Probably in a very simple-hearted way, he wanted to come and break the good news to Daksha that, you know what, I have delivered your second set of sons also. They have taken up to bhakti. Come, let's celebrate, like that, something like that. You know, he really wanted to, you know, let's see what Narada Muni thought. Narada Muni considered as follows, Srila Vishnu Jagadakur writes, the dynasty of Swayambhuva Manu, which is Priyavrat, Uttanapa, Dhruva, and others, everyone attained the Lord by my efforts. Huh? Prachinabarhi also, even though involved in karma, was delivered. His 10 sons, the 10 Prachetas and his grandsons, the Hariyashvas and the 1000 Shavalasvas were delivered. How is it that only Daksha remains playing in the blind hold of household life? Like this Narada Muni was thinking. So he wanted to, he had taken, you know, delivery rights for the whole dynasty, it seems like. So he was thinking, I will deliver him also. Hearing that his sons have renounced, lamenting Daksha now remains in his house with detachment. He thought, oh, I should strike while this iron is hot. Daksha is lamenting because of the loss of his sons. Therefore, he must have a lot of vairagya in his heart right now. Now is a suitable time to give him mercy. So Narada Muni thought like that. If he does not come to me, then I will go to his house. For this reason, Narada went to see Daksha. Like that. Is there a purport?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Narada Muni had delivered the entire family of Swayambhu Manu, beginning with Priyavrat and Uttanapad. He had delivered Uttanapad's son, Dhruva, and had even delivered Prachinabarhi, who was engaged in footy activities. Nevertheless, he could not deliver Prajapati Daksha. Prajapati Daksha saw Narada before him because Narada had personally come to deliver him. Narada Muni took the opportunity to approach Prajapati Daksha in his bereavement, because the time of bereavement is a suitable time for appreciating bhakti yoga. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.16, four kinds of men: artha, one who is distressed; artharthi, one in need of money; jigyasu, one who is inquisitive; and jnani, a person in knowledge. Try to understand devotional service. Prajapati Daksha was in great distress because of loss of his sons, and therefore Narada took the opportunity to instruct him regarding liberation from material bondage.
Any quick comments, questions before we move on to the next section?
Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Like what I was understanding, that when Daksha saw that his another set of sons also lost, mm-hmm. so he was in distress.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, like, sometime in such a situations, but here Narada Muni thought that he is in distress and this is the right opportunity for preaching. But rather than becoming detached, he became angry.
Mm-hmm.
So was that like how that it comes out that that distressful, that same situation? I feel that some devotees become, someone can become angry and someone can become, you know, dejected or something like that. So how is it based on the attitude, or what attitude leads to these two different things?
Yeah, I mean, if I understand your question right, is it like what makes someone feel dejected? What makes someone feel angry? Is that your question?
Yes.
Yeah, it could be modes. It could be in the case of Daksha, he knew Narada Muni was the cause. So naturally it leads to anger. And also his prior offending of Lord Shiva would also play a role in what emotion would come out. And of course, the presence or absence of Sukriti also would play a role. So therefore, it is not that every Artha, Arthaarthi, Jigyasu and Jnani will approach the Supreme Lord.
Mm-hmm.
If he is a Sukritina, he will approach the Supreme Lord. Mm-hmm. So the response depends, of course, on the situation also. But whether that response would be a Krishnonmukh response or not will depend on the Sukriti. Whether he has Sukriti or not, that's what would decide.
Okay. I feel this is this about the attitude also, like?
So. Yeah, of course. Attitude is defined by the modes, right? So, I mean, the nature of, a Rajoguni person would become, would respond to a particular way, particular situation as inspired by Rajogun. Mm-hmm. A Satoguni person would respond. So, what we say call as attitude is actually the modes only. So, that is why different qualities are connected with different modes. So, Lobha is connected with Rajas. Greed is connected with Rajas. Lethargy is connected with Tamas. Like that. So what we call as attitude is actually the influence of the modes. So, particular, because attitude is very vague in one sense. We can behave in particular ways, but to develop a particular attitude, one has to work on the level of the modes. So, change then particular attitudes. Attitude changes can happen actually.
So
I would say rather than, yeah.
So, Prabhuji, what I was...
Go ahead.
Trying to understand that... as Vishwanathakur Thakur is saying that Narad Muni thought that this is the right time to preach opportunity because he is in distressful. But he saw that he took it in different. This is what we can understand. Like, he had wrong, different expectation from Daksha, and Daksha took it in very negative way.
He probably, I mean, of course, this is all a plan of Krishna. That Narada Muni could not really see that this is how Daksha would respond. Mm. Actually, if Krishna wanted, he could have educated Narada Muni and told, don't go. But Krishna had his own plan. So, Narada Muni apparently could not fathom that when he would go, he would be cursed by Daksha because Daksha would be extremely angry. So this is all Krishna's plan. And that is Narada Muni actually, absolutely malleable to Krishna's plan. That so Krishna used him in all different ways actually. So like that.
Daksha also wanted to do service only, na Prabhuji. He was means whatever the service was, but he also was progenerating because that was his service.
Correct.
So service,
from one point of view, it is not at all wrong. So, for example, if someone's faith is fixed there, so you cannot present a higher logic if they are not qualified for it. Like, for example, recently, actually, I don't know why I felt like that. Many, many years back, this was in... maybe 1995, something like that. Then almost 25 years later, I remembered when I was in school, I was in a boarding school, and our principal's wife, we had a principal, and his wife was a very, very kind-hearted lady, actually. So we were small children. And monthly once, you know, the children's parents could come and visit. But because my parents stayed very, very far away from my school, they would almost never visit me. Except during vacation times, I would go and visit them. So sometimes the principal's wife would come and find out which are those children whose parents have not come. And she used to take us to her home and, you know, make a small feast for us. And, you know, we used to have a nice time there. So after 25 years, I was actually very gratefully remembering. I mean, of course, she did not give me prasadam, or she did not, you know, give me any Krishna consciousness. But that gesture was very selfless, and it had left a very deep impression in my heart. So somehow, I connected with some of my school friends, and I found out her phone number, and I called her to express my gratitude, because when I was such a small child, you know, I could not, you know, I did not even realize, you know, what gratitude was. So I called her, and she was so surprised, actually. And then she naturally would ask, so what are you doing now? So she thought that I would tell that, I am in National Defense Academy. You know, I am in the Indian Army or Air Force or Navy, because that's what the school was meant for. So I told her that I have taken up to spirituality. So she was literally shocked, actually. She must have thought, you know, oh, what a waste, you know, the government of India wasted so much money on you, like that, she must have thought, maybe. So then I told her, then she told, oh, isn't it so obvious that the highest philosophy is Karma Yoga? And then she started telling, I believe in Karma Yoga, which essentially in her language, what it meant was work is worship. I do my work with all my heart and soul. And I think that is what would please the Supreme Lord. And this is the best course of action. So for someone who is completely, you know, her conviction in that philosophy was more than my conviction in bhakti. I could clearly sense it. So I did not, you know, so her value system is different. So my logic would not fit in her thought process at all. So I just heard her, and I appreciated her, and I again expressed my gratitude, and then I left it there. So, I mean, I don't know. What was the question? I forgot.
The Daksha... Open it.
What, Daksha? Daksha was also, yeah, you are right. So Daksha was also right. You know, it was an assigned service for Daksha. But then, ultimately, what is the purpose of creation? The purpose of creation is to facilitate the rebellious living entities, rebellious desires, till they become favorably inclined to become Krishnonmukh, and then facilitate that Krishnonmukhata so that they can achieve perfection in that line. So Narada Muni, you know, in a moment achieved it, actually. While Daksha, so it is like, while someone is trying to get a job by which one can earn lot of money so that he can help his mother undergo an operation, let's say. And someone comes, takes the mother to the hospital, conducts the operation, and brings her back. So in a moment, the ultimate purpose is accomplished, right? So the Praja Sarga is true, but ultimately the purpose of Praja Sarga is to eventually make the living entities, give a facility for the living entities to become Krishnonmukh, and give them some facility to practice that path of bhakti, and then perfect it. So in a moment, actually, Narada Muni accomplished it. So if Daksha had that this thing, you know, if Daksha had that kind of devotional faith, he could have immediately seen it, and Daksha would have said, you know, look, you take full contract of my family. My job is I will create thousands and ten thousands of children, and in a moment you keep on delivering them. So in that way, you know, that is actually the purpose of creation in one sense, to give facility for rebellious souls to enjoy in a rebellious way till they become Krishnonmukh, and then eventually give them facility to achieve perfection. So if Daksha had that devotional faith, he would have said, I will do my job, you do your job, just let's continue. So then you know, that would have been the perfect combination, but unfortunately Daksha did not have that faith, so therefore he could not see what Narada Muni was doing. That's my understanding.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay.
Prabhuji?
Yeah.
So this may happen in many times, I was just thinking that time. That because of not understanding the bigger picture, we are more focused on what I'm supposed to do. And when someone else comes in between, we get disturbed. Whereas the on ultimate level, that is the overall, the like bigger picture, and that is the ultimate aim also.
Quite possible.
Yes, Prabhuji?
Quite possible, yeah.
So what can be done if we are at the position of Daksha, that so immediately we are getting disturbed because we are quite attached to what I want to achieve, because this is what I am officially supposed to do also.
Yeah, probably the situation that Daksha was in and the situation that you are putting yourself in, a real life situation, may not exactly be the same. Because Daksha really did not have pure devotional faith. So in our case, we might be dealing the other person whom we might be dealing with. He might actually have pure devotional faith. He might be our senior. We might have that acceptance. But just it might be our own attachment. That's all.
Yeah.
So it is not that we don't understand
bigger picture.
The bigger picture, but our attachments probably clouds it. But on the level of our value system, we still know that this my response is not probably the best response. So Daksha's situation and our situation may not necessarily be the same. Daksha's situation was quite different.
Yes.
And if we are at Daksha's situation, what can we do? We can't do anything, actually. Because we would not want to do anything if we were in Daksha's position. You understand?
Means for you?
I mean, if we were in Daksha's position, only when we are convinced that I am at a disadvantageous position, only then we will try to make it advantageous, right? But Daksha was absolutely convinced that he was right.
Yeah.
So the first thing is, the person who is in that situation to understand that I should be at a better situation, maybe I should develop a higher faith. But generally people don't think that way, because the moment they think maybe I should have a higher faith, at that moment only their faith has already elevated to a higher position. Just that they're, because of their attachments and conditionings, they are practically not able to act on that level of higher faith. But the moment they think that, oh, I am at a lower level of faith, I should enhance it. The moment they think like that, at that moment they have elevated themselves to that higher level of faith. But if one does not think like that, then he is absolutely not convinced. Then which means he would see that I am right, they are wrong. So why would he want to change? So if we were in Daksha's position, the only hope for us is if some devotee comes and gives us an opportunity to, if he gives us that chakshu, chakshuron militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha, that is the only hope. Otherwise we ourselves would not want to change, actually. Anything else before we move on to the next section?
Yes, Really, sometimes when such questions are asked, the answer which is gotten is that you continue, and then slowly, slowly you'll get purified.
Okay, for what question this is the answer?
Means like for now, if you're having, like you were telling that in, like Muktaresh was asking the last question. What is the question?
Question that? Sometimes we think another devotee is disturbing, or though overall it is good for the ultimate.
So overall it is good, but then he is feeling, so we are feeling disturbed. But then the solution is even okay, you go and like you go on practicing for some time, and gradually, because we also see now that Vishaya Sanghara is there or whatever. So that phase maybe everyone has to go through. Niyamakshana Taranga Rangini. So then some point of time it will be there and it will then go away.
Yeah, correct. See, again when we are talking about Taranga Rangini or Niyamakshama or Vishesangara, this is all on the level of our, not on the level of faith, right? This is more on the level of our Swabhava only.
Yeah.
But Daksha's case is a case of misplaced faith. So his faith itself is somewhere else.
Okay.
So there is no question of his purification. But for us, there is hope because we are in the right Shraddha.
For us, correct. So at least then we will see, then at least there is some internal conviction. Even though from the conditioning point of view, there is inability to immediately follow, a particular mode is pushing so hard and we are totally spiritually very weak to resist the push of that mode. We succumb. All that happens, but there is internal regret. We know that this is not the Vaishnava way of responding. And all that we know. That's why I was telling Muktakesh Prabhu, I can understand your question, but Daksha's situation is quite different from the situation which you are imagining. Yeah, like that.
Rohini?
Yeah.
Or should you go ahead?
No. You go ahead.
Actually, I was thinking that in current scenario, when the devotee, parents may feel upset when their children become renounced, because one thing is that one way is that their conviction, they themselves, they will not be sufficiently faith and process. However, but the current scenario which is going on, like they may see that over the years, after so many years, even such a very senior brahmachari is leaving ashram, so they may become angry at their children that they are leaving, they are taking to renunciation.
That's perfect. Actually, are they wrong?
Yeah, that's my
Everyone feels insecure because when you joined, they felt insecure. But over a period of time, when you started getting stabilized, you started showing some good qualities and people started appreciating you. They thought you were secure. And then when people start leaving, then it is natural, no? Because they have that affection for you.
Yeah.
So it is natural for them to feel insecure. That is why I never tell my parents when brahmacharis leave.
Yeah.
So, or rather I tell that I tell those cases where brahmacharis left because they had some pressing family needs, some emergencies, our Vamshihari Prabhu left because mother was extremely sick and his only brother was schizophrenic. So till his mother was little bit healthy, she could somehow take care of his her elder son. But then when she became extremely sick, then no father, no one else to take care. So, it would be ruthless on his part to just, not do anything. So, he had to eventually leave and take care. So, I present those cases.
Okay.
If at all, I need to say, because unnecessarily, it will create a lot of, insecurity.
Yeah.
So, why give them that opportunity?
Yes.
We see it is not that they only get insecure. When senior devotees leave, other ashram devotees also get insecure.
Yeah.
So, but at least we don't have to pass on that insecurity to others. This is, you know, occupational hazard is there. Everyone knows. Similarly, the head of the family, he may be aware of his occupational hazards. He may not discuss those things in detail with his family members because there is no need.
Mm-hmm.
Why to put them under anxiety?
Mm-hmm.
So, we don't have to necessarily do it. But sometimes, eventually, due to, you know, my mother has her own devotee friend circle. So, through that something she gets to hear. Then I have to sort of, you know, tell her some background picture like that. Yeah, but it is natural in their case. You know, we have to, which parent will not feel? It is their expression of affection for us only.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll move on to the next section. Now Daksha is going to curse Narada Muni. Shri Daksha Uvacha Aho Asado Sadhu Nam Sadhu Lingena Nastvaya Asadu Akari Arbakanam Bhikshor Marga Pradarshitaha. Really heavy words he says. Aho Asado. So he is addressing the first thing. He is addressing Narada Muni as Asadho, who imposter. Tvaya Asadu Akari. You have acted improperly. Naha sadhunam, among saintly people like us, you have acted in such an improper way. You are such an imposter. Sadhu lingena, and that too wearing the dress of a sadhu. You have cheated great saintly people like us. Arbakanam bhikshoha marga pradarshitaha. You have made small children into beggars, bhikshus, are the, you know, begging renunciants. What a cruel act you have done, like that. So, Srila Vishnu Jagadakur writes, by wearing the dress of a saintly person, you are causing great deception. We are saintly. Plural case is used out of pride. Jaise bolte na, hum aage. Matlab, Hindi mein, when you say hum aage, matlab, there is an element of pride. Main aagaya, matlab, it's a, you know, it's a normal way of telling. Hum aage, matlab, it's like a, you know, that indicates pride. So like that, he says here that naha sadhunam, among us, like that he says. I am saintly. You have produced great misfortune for me, who would never show such hatred to you, even in dreams. What did I do to you? Not even in my dream I have wanted to hurt you. Why are you doing this to me? Your great offense has become visible now after some time. What injustice did I do? You, with envy, not tolerating the happiness of household life, have shown the path of the beggars to my small children. For whatever reasons, you could not get married. So therefore, you could not tolerate that we householders were having a nice time. So you wanted to disturb all that enjoyment out of envy. They are like children, innocent, and they accepted the teachings of a cheater like you. So this is one meaning. And generally, when such harsh words are used against the Supreme Lord or the great devotees, generally, you know, alternative meanings also can be seen there, which sort of glorifies them. So he says, O Narada, to whom no one can compare as a saint. That is another meaning of this verse. There is no one with such marks of a saint. Like that. You have shown the path of the saintly to my sons. Of course, that's not exactly what Daksha meant. But Daksha's words have been modified by Saraswati so that eventually no criticism you know, touches the great devotees like that. This double meaning can be taken in verses following as well, but will not be explained in order that the commentary remains concise. So this is what Vishnu Jagadagur says. Look, actually, the every verse that Daksha speaks has a double meaning. The second meaning can be taken to glorify Narada Muni, but I don't want to make the commentary very long. So, as Rupa Goswami writes, Grantha, this is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes, Grantha Bahulya Bhititaha. Probably Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Samsundu says, I'm afraid of making this Grantha too long and big, so I want to keep it concise. Like that here, Vishnu Chakradakur says, I'm afraid that this commentary would become too long. So, I recommend that you understand that that there is an alternative meaning that can be taken to the other verses also. Like that, here he writes. Okay. Is there a purport? Yeah.
Big purport. Adigopal will read, I guess. Here. Or should I read Adigopal Rao?
Yeah, read. Go ahead. You read.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sannyasira Alpa Chhadra Sarva Loka Gaya. Madhya 12.51. In society, one will find many sannyasis, vanprasthas, grahasthas and brahmacharis. But if all of them properly live in accordance with their duties, they are understood to be sadhus. Prajapati Daksha was certainly a sadhu because he had executed such great austerities that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, had appeared before him. Nevertheless, he had a fault-finding mentality. He improperly thought Narad Muni to be a sadhu or nay nonsensically because Narada had foiled his intentions. Desiring to train his sons to become grahasthas fully equipped with knowledge, Daksha had sent them to execute austerities by Narayan Saras. Narad Muni, however, taking advantage of their highly elevated position in austerity, instructed them to become Vaishnavas in the renounced order. This is the duty of Narad Muni and his followers. They must show everyone the path of renouncing this material world and returning home back to Godhead. Prajapati Daksha, however, could not see the exaltedness of the duties Narad Muni performed in relation to his sons. Unable to appreciate Narad Muni's behavior, Daksha accused Narada of being a sadhu. The words Bhikshur Marga, the path of renounced order, are very significant in this regard. A sannyasi is called Tridandi Bhikshu because his duty is to beg alms from the homes of grihasthas and to give grihasthas special instructions. A sannyasi is allowed to beg from door to door, but a grihastha cannot do so. Grihasthas may earn their living according to the four divisions of spiritual life. A Brahman grihastha may earn his livelihood by becoming a learned scholar and teaching people in general how to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He may also assume the duty of worship himself. Therefore, it is said that only Brahmanas may engage in deity worship and they may accept as prasad whatever people offer to the deity. Although Brahmana may sometimes accept charity, it is not for his personal maintenance but for the worship of the deity. Thus, a Brahmana does not stock anything for his future use. Similarly, Kshatriyas may collect taxes from the citizens and they must also protect the citizens, enforce rules and regulations and maintain law and order. Vaishyas should earn their livelihood through agriculture and cow protection, and Shudras should maintain their livelihood by serving the three higher classes. Unless one becomes a Brahmana, one cannot take sannyas. Sannyasis and brahmacharis may beg alms door to door, but a grahastha cannot. Prajavai Daksha condemned Narad Muni because Narada, a brahmachari who could beg from door to door, had made sannyasis of Daksha's sons who were being trained to be grahasthas. Daksha was extremely angry at Narada because he thought that Narada had done him a great injustice. According to Daksha's opinion, Narad Muni had misled Daksha's inexperienced sons, Asadhu Akari Arbakanam. Daksha regarded his sons as innocent boys who had been misled when Narada showed them the renounced order of life. Because of all these considerations, Prajapati Daksha charged that Narad Muni was Asadhu and should not have adopted the dress of Asadhu. Sometimes a saintly person is misunderstood by grihasthas, especially when he instructs their young sons to accept Krishna consciousness. Generally, a grihastha thinks that unless one enters grihastha life, he cannot properly enter the renounced order.
If a young man immediately adopts the path of renounced order in accordance with instructions of Narada or a member of his disciplic succession, his parents become very angry. Same phenomena is occurring in our Krishna consciousness movement because we are instructing all the young boys in Western countries to follow the path of renunciation. We allow grihastha life, but a grihastha also follows the path of renunciation. Even a grihastha has to give up so many bad habits that his parents think that his life has been practically destroyed. We allow no meditating, no illicit sex, no gambling and no intoxication. And consequently, the parents wonder, how? If there are so many no's, one's life can be positive. In the Western countries especially, these four prohibited activities practically constitute the life and soul of the modern population. Therefore, parents sometimes dislike our movement, just as Prajapati Daksha disliked the activities of Narada and accused Narada of dishonesty. Nevertheless, although parents may be angry at us, we must perform our duty without hesitation because we are in the disciplic succession from Narada Muni. People addicted to householder life wonder, how can one give up the enjoyment of grihastha life, which is a concession for sex enjoyment, simply to become a mendicant in Krishna consciousness? They do not know that the householder's concession for sex life cannot be regulated unless one accepts the life of a mendicant. The Vedic civilization, therefore, enjoins that at the end of one's 50th year, one must give up household life. This is compulsory. However, because modern civilization is misled, householders want to remain in family life until death, and therefore they are suffering. In such cases, the disciples of Narad Muni advise all the members of the younger generation to join the Krishna consciousness movement immediately. There is nothing wrong in this.
Okay. Any comments?
Prabhuji, in our community, the number of vanprastha is very less, na? But like if it's like if we consider it that way.
Yeah, because see, whatever, while Prabhupada was there, he instituted, it was very, very clear. So when Prabhupada preached, it was mostly to young men. And Prabhupada preached for about 11 years. And I mean, none of them were old enough to become vanaprasthas. So in one sense, there was no very clear method instituted by Srila Prabhupada himself. I mean, there was no need at that time. So as of now, therefore, what he did not very... He has stated it in his purports, but a clear-cut, you know, directive is not there. The same way, for the Varnashram thing also, Prabhupada very clearly indicated, but a clear-cut directive is not there. So, more than 50 years have passed since ISKCON has been established. So, therefore, we are still in one sense clueless about this also. So yeah, I mean, not that it is not needed, but because when Prabhupada was there, there was actually the society did not have devotees who were, you know, the age of Vanaprastha, like 50 years or so. So, yeah, that's why I feel. Is that relevant? I don't know.
I was hearing Haldar Swami Maharaj. He was telling that those who they were brahmacharis, then later they became grihasthas. Then he was saying they never become vanaprasthas. Never means
Achha.
Like that. They say that, you know, Maharaj was telling that term. His point may be different, but he was telling that one may feel that, I know what is that sadhu life. Like that, he was telling.
But in Vedic tradition, we have brahmacharya and
That's what I was thinking. But,
we had heard once from Bhaktichara Maharaj, he was giving an NVCC once, and Rajasambhad asked a question that devotees are not coming to temple. So Bhagajar Mahara said there is no problem if they are not coming to temple because that is why they have become grihasthas. So he said that coming to temple is okay, but vanaprastha is compulsory. He said like that. In that case, but like that is why I had that.
Yeah, I mean, see, not every ashram needs to be completely institutionalized also. Just like, I mean, for us, Brahmachari ashram and sannyas ashram are institutionalized. But the grihastha ashram and vanaprastha ashram, they can figure it out for themselves. The principles are clearly given. And even though the so the practical application according to their own situation, you know, they can find out ways of doing it, because as an institution, I mean individual temples, I don't know how clear they are in their, because ultimately our institution will see a vanaprastha as, you know, the motive would be, he has become old, so he will become a liability very soon. I mean, there is a possibility.
Correct.
Okay. So, I mean, I am not talking about how Vaishnavas should think. I am talking about how in an institution, various things can be considered. So, they will say that, if he had come when he was young and had utility, it would have been nice. But now that he is old, so eventually, you know, we will have to take care of him, you know. So, a person who is interested in becoming a vanaprastha also for the same reason may feel hesitant to approach the temple authorities. Even though he may have a valid reason, now I have taken care of all my family responsibilities. Now I want to dedicate my life. But how many are willing to believe it actually? So these are practical concerns, because, you know, people will definitely see in terms of, you know, turnover. Ultimately, vanaprastha life means he can sit and chant and focus on his sadhana, but that may not necessarily be seen as productive work, even though it is the most productive work, but that may not necessarily be seen. So, and eventually when health issues come, who is going to take care and all those things, these are like practical issues. So yeah, I think for these reasons, if there is a very if the leader is very clear, and if we did have vanaprastas in Chowpatty, Abhiram Thakur Prabhu was there. Maharaj, he would personally cook for Maharaj also. So he was the first and only vanaprastha who stayed in Chowpatty temple. So like that. These are some of my thoughts.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. What is the time?
12:13, Prabhuji.
12:13. Okay, let's see if we... how long is next purport?
What is one page?
One page. Okay, we'll take it tomorrow only. So tomorrow we'll start from the 37th verse onwards. We'll start tomorrow. Okay?
Tomorrow is time.
Yeah. What?
Tomorrow is Friday.
Oh, tomorrow is Friday. Okay, on Monday only we can take. So, yeah. So, even though there is a chance that tomorrow there may be power supply or the signal may be there, but let us fix it, because it may be there. What if it comes and goes? Then it will be just a waste of time. So, I think let's just stick to this. 1 hour, 15 minutes every day, Monday to Thursday we will do, so that we can cover up for the last Friday. So let's stick to this schedule only. So Friday we will not have. So we will meet on Monday only.
Yes, please.
Okay.